beyond identity, the illusion of identity, illusion of separation. What's that say? It's not real. It's called a dream. And I like the way one guy described it, and that is, when we go to sleep, we have sleeping dreams. And they seem very real when you're in them, until you wake up and realize that it was a dream. Hello, Glenda.
Mwah. Mwah. Kisses.
So the nighttime dream seems very real. I dream actively every night. And I've sort of gotten now where I know, you know, I'm going to sleep and there's going to be stuff going on, and it's sort of lost all of its luster. And I just realize there isn't much on there that's reality. But the thing we don't understand is that when we wake up to this separate identity, we're entering into a daytime dream. And the daytime dream is us believing that we're playing a role, that we're cause and effect, that there's a free will and free choice and all of these characteristics that by appearances seem real. And that's the daytime dream. When the daytime dream ends, you disappear. Now, you say that, what do you mean I'm here? What do you mean I'm disappearing? Well, we spent a lot of time in the last conference talking about that you're not a body. Well, thank heaven. I just about said thank God.
I know.
See, I've still got to get rid of a little bit of that, right? What you are is the offspring of unconditional, omnipresent love. And there isn't anything independent from that. It's the doer. It's having its way with you, whether you like it or not. And it's not, and even to talk about it in words, it's so hard because you just with the mind, you have a tendency to say that it's doing something. But it's so big and it's so beautiful and so wonderful and beyond word and thought that it doesn't have a plan. It isn't doing anything to anybody, because it is everybody. It is everything all at once. Right now, this is it. This is all it is. This is all you're going to get, guys. It's this right now. It doesn't get any better, and it's not supposed to. And when you can see beyond what appears to be right and wrong and good and evil and yin and yang, okay, you can start to feel this inside you and realize that the reality is, I remember calling Dean once a while back, and I had gotten this revelation, and I shared it with him, and it didn't make a lot of sense at the time, but there's an obscure verse, and it says, they will be as though they never were. Well, that sounds a little scary, but really what that's talking about is timelessness and a place where there's no space, where there's not, where identity isn't the issue, and everybody's one. And you don't have to think about that. Okay? It isn't something, well, I've got to, okay, well, this person is over here who's acting like an ass, but they're me, so I've got to be nice. Well, all of that kind of stuff is going to disappear. Okay, when you disappear with your memory, there's nothing for you. You don't have anything to comment on anymore. Oh my gosh, how could that be? How could we survive if there was no words to be spoken? Wouldn't that be something? We just sit around and hold hands, you know, and let Brucey sing to us, you know? So we can get that big, beautiful guy, Robert, crying back there. Robert, I love you.
I love you too. Thank you.
You put on quite a show yesterday.
I love it.
It was good.
Dean gave me the script.
So I want you to think about, I'm trying to lighten it up a little more. We started out really heavy on Friday night, attacking your God. And yesterday afternoon, we talked about you're not a mind. Well, the mind is the only thing, the mind's the only one that says the mind is real. Okay? I know that's a tongue twister. And it ties your mind in knots. Well, it's supposed to. Because you're not a mind. And why is that? You couldn't be your memory. That's all the mind is a memory. That can't be you. How could that be you? Let's say you went into the hospital or something and you were unconscious, you know, or you had amnesia. You'd still be there. And when you go to sleep, in deep sleep, you're still there. I'm talking about deep REM sleep where you're not dreaming. You're still there. Well, that's you. That's the real you, okay? That's the eternal you. Without comment. Without judgment. So, as long as there is a you that exists, your definition of you, the person you think you are, you can only, listen now, this is, Robert Sanders' thing is absolute truth, but I'm telling you, this is absolute. As long as there's a you that exists, you can only live in a realm of a past and a future. The you can never settle down in this now. It doesn't ever settle down in the now, okay? Because the mind is constantly working, trying to accomplish something. And you're going to do stuff, but you, as we talked about yesterday, it's going to be spontaneous. It's going to be from an energy that you've not experienced before. You know how when you do something, maybe Miss Doris could tell us, you know, but when you get real excited and get into a piece of artwork or something, you lose yourself. You get excited, so excited about something, you just, all time disappears. That's you. That's the real you. And how much do we experience that? You know, if we were to be honest, we'd have to say that hasn't been experienced very much. Because we're running around, going to and fro across the earth, in a panic most of the time. And even if you do have what's called a good experience, you can't enjoy it very much because you know that something's coming that isn't going to be so good. That's not life, guys. That has got anything to do with life. So it's so important to understand that we talk about your love and thank you for you and all that stuff. Well, Bruce isn't talking about the flesh, okay? He's talking about this real you, the center where this unconditional love abides. And it's never love. It's always unconditional love. Love's just a word. Unconditional love has no boundaries. It has no rules. It has no plans. It has no purpose. It's just free bounding. You're in a free fall. And there isn't, everything is spontaneous, okay? It's way above what we could think of as love. Unconditional love is omnipresent, always right now. It's not something that's tomorrow. It's not something that you experienced before. It only is experienced in this microsecond. And once the mind tries to engage in that, you lose it. And it doesn't mean there's something wrong with you. What I'm telling you is you're not your mind. You don't have to agree with that thing that's speaking, because that's not the real you, okay? And it's, I like to call it perfect humility. Okay, and I happened to write something on that, and I want to just write something that Dana wrote about it because it's really beautiful. True humility It's not lowering the estimation of yourself. True humility is not seeing the value of others. True humility is knowing that there is no self. True humility is knowing that there are no others. True humility knows everything is complete and whole and has no concept of separation or identity. So when perfect humility comes, you disappear, because life isn't about you. What, and what we experienced yesterday when we're saying life is living its life through you, it's not you, it's not you trying to do it the other way around. Life is having its way with you. And when you can get in tune with that and realize that there's a guiding force there, and I hate to use the word force because we'll call it God, but it's an energy. Unconditional love is an energy from which everything flows. It's not something anybody can do anything with. You can't do anything with it because you are it. You can't be outside yourself trying to play with the Play-Doh. That's what I'm trying to say. It's impossible. It is you. You can't be playing with yourself.
Amen. Are you going to start telling us that?
Robert will do that when he comes up. I'll leave that to him. So here's the overall definition of true humility, and that it's realizing that there isn't anyone or anything that needs to be humble. Now, isn't that freeing? There isn't some person that needs to be humble because there's no you. Now, that's freedom.
Yes,
that's freedom right there, isn't it?
Yes.
That's perfect freedom. It's so simple, and it's so perfect in realizing that there's nothing to overcome. Did you hear me?
That's easy.
There's nothing to overcome except don't agree with your memory. Right? There's really nothing there anyway. That's why it's called a waking dream. That's why it's called the illusion of identity. Now, just saying the illusion of identity is a tongue twister, because we just said two words and put them together. So they must mean something. Well, they really don't. It's really a dichotomy, okay? The illusion of identity means both of them disappear, right? It's something that's beyond words to even say that. But perfect humility is realizing that there's nothing to overcome and there isn't anything that needs to be humble. So that just makes you quiet. It just quiets me, because it's so liberating to be so. I don't want to use the word salvation, we'll use the word liberation. But the only thing that you need liberation from is the idea of yourself, and that there's something you need to do. There is nothing you can do to change reality. There's not one word you can speak. There's not one action you can take that's going to change reality. Reality is already complete, it's whole, it's everything, it's now, and it's never not everything. So even as Robert was saying, it doesn't matter what you do when you go out of here. If you go to church and you go back to church, well, that's just unconditional love going to church and torturing itself. Okay? That's just what it's doing. There's nothing to control. Okay? But as this quiet moment we just experienced just a couple moments ago, could you hear that? Did you hear what that is? That's it. That's reality. Without words. There's nothing or no one that could ever do anything to change everything. Not a God, not a mind, and not a self. And so I titled this, There Is No Self. And so we've sort of laid the groundwork on what that means. It's not the you that Bruce was singing about. It's the self that your mind tries to tell you that you are. The one that bitches and complains and mm-hmm. gives his commentary on political issues yeah. or world issues yeah. or whatever else. It says, well, I don't like this and I don't like that. That's just the mind and chattering away. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just going, going, going. Pay no attention to that person behind the curtain, okay?
Yeah.
Because it's not really you. So perfect humility, wow, could almost just stop right there. So I want to tell you something about me, and that is I'm not anyone special. It's just the opposite. I've found the reality of what I'm sharing with you, or I would never get up here and try to speak to you about anything, because I have a lot to do. This isn't something I need to do. It's something that is being done, and I don't have any control over it. But I'm not someone special. It's just the opposite. Because Beatrice Music, I don't know if I pronounced her last name right, but she was on there, and she decided to quote me on her own wall, and she started to get hammered. You know, who the hell's this Mike Nevins? Who gives him the right to give the ultimate say on Jack, this one guy said. And I thought I'd pipe in and I'd said, I am nothing and have no qualifications. I gave that all up. It was too much for me to handle.
That was good.
And I'm serious.
That's good.
I was too much to handle, this separate person. It wears you out.
Yes.
And when you begin to see it, when you begin to recognize it, what's the answer? What is there to do? Nothing. Realize it's nothing. Realize it's no thing. Don't, because if you try to manage it, it's just going to get worse. You just give it energy. Just get in that quiet place and realize there is nothing that needs to change. The only place all that comes from is just from the mind. Perfect humility, perfect love is that quiet place where nothing needs to be done. There's no plan, there's no purpose, there's nowhere to go, and there's nothing to do. But I'm serious. In America, now if you were in Africa somewhere, in some bush, where, I mean...
I'm sorry, Mike.
Okay. If you were in Africa somewhere and you were on behind some bush and all you did all day was just do enough so you could eat three meals,
pick your beans.
You'd have a little more idea of what I'm talking about, right? Because mm-hmm. there wouldn't be a whole lot going on. So we've just learned the art over here in the West of how to be separate from ourselves. We've just mastered that.
Yeah.
And the self gets pissed off when it gets exposed.
Yeah.
Okay? He doesn't like it.
Yeah.
He doesn't want to be had.
Mm-hmm.
So he fights it. And it's your only enemy.
Yeah.
It's the only one. This dream guy. I mean, sometimes, you know, they're pretty good looking. It's why young people have such a hard time listening to truth, because they're just what? They're full of themselves. And I'm just so glad I'm 60.
Yeah.
And when I get to be 70, I'll even be more glad, because there'll be less and less bullshit.
Yeah.
It just goes down and goes down and goes down. And I tell people this all the time. I said, whatever that was that I did, I don't want anything to do with it. I don't want to go back and do that again. Okay? I'm just very comfortable where I'm at right now. So I remember Dan Stone, he was a great speaker. I used to love him. He's gone now. He's not with us, but I'm going to add a little bit to what he said. But he used to say all the time, if you really want to have genuine peace, get the hell out of your own way. Now, I don't know if that's the dog chasing its tail or just how you do that, but I just know that's key. It's just the only problem you have with anything is with your mind. There are no other places where problems exist. Yeah. It's just in your imagination.
Amen. Exactly.
That's the only place. So shut the hell up and get the hell out of your own way. Okay?
Yes.
I think Bruce even said that, get behind me, Satan. You know?
Perfect.
I've told people a few times that if you really like to read and you want to read really, really good spiritual literature, something that I feel is way more powerful and way more enlightening and has a lot less bullshit in it, is to read I Am That by Nisargadatta Maharaj.
Yes.
Okay? I don't know if anybody took me up on it. Few people said they tried to buy it, then they get bogged down because it's a very, you could spend a week in a chapter.
In one paragraph.
Yeah. It's very, very rich. And there's so many things he says that are so beautiful. And I'm going to quote him now because I found this as I was reading through that. And I took it and put it in a three-ring binder and I studied it for 2 years.
Yeah.
Only because I couldn't get enough of it.
Yeah.
I'm not telling that because I'm saying I'm somebody. I couldn't wait till about 3 or 4 o'clock every day, and I'd go down there and sip a couple glasses of wine and just ponder through this thing and just getting stabbed with just love all the time. That's what it felt like, and I just liked it, so I did it. And so I've found some of these nuggets, you know, that sort of support what I'm sharing with you. And this is what he said. There are no conditions to fulfill. There is nothing to be done. There is nothing to be given up. Just look and remember whatever you perceive is not you and not yours. Now, isn't that beautiful?
Yes.
Haven't we all said that this weekend in several ways?
Yes.
Huh? And here's this guy, an Indian sage, and these people have been teaching this since before time began. Okay, this is a new truth.
Yeah.
Okay, this is beautiful spiritual insights. And he says, it is there in the field of consciousness, but you were not the field and its contents.
Yeah.
Okay, didn't I just say that?
Yeah.
You are not the field and its contents. Yeah. That's the only thing you've got to realize,
yeah,
is that you don't need to take anything personally.
Yay.
Huh?
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
Isn't that good news?
Yeah, that's great.
You are not the field and its contents, nor even the knower of the field.
Yeah, that's
right. That's something? It is your idea that you have to do things that entangle you in the results of your efforts. The motive, the desire, the failure to achieve, the sense of frustration, all this just holds you back. And see, we can't, in America, we can't trust that because everything will go to hell. See, I talked about the virtue of laziness the last time we were together. You can't say that in America. What are you doing, Mike? Huh? But what is it that you could do that just brings relaxation to you each day? Like a walk in the park or having a cup of tea. A time where there's nowhere to go and nothing to do, right? That's all I'm saying. What if there was a time like that every day where you could really experience your true self?
Huh?
Does anybody do that? Where you can get in touch with reality? Because that's where reality is at. Where there's nothing to do. Where there's no place to go. where there's no place to hurry to. Huh? That's reality. Because what? It's a place of timelessness. It's a place without urgency. Huh? But everybody's afraid to do that in this country. Now, I've had an opportunity with the business, because it's moving along pretty well on its own finally after 20 years. Pat yourself on the back. That I'm only going into the work about 2 days a week now. And you want to know what? I love it.
Yes.
And it gives me the opportunity to really focus on what I love, and that's to be able to share and understand this stuff in a way where I can share it with you and find these jewels. But I spent 2 years finding some of these nuggets for you. Because the only way you can remember that stuff when it's time to share it is if you never forget it. And you'd read these things, and they would overtake me. And I would never forget it. Because it was talking to. Yeah. The real me. And it was beautiful. So, it is your idea that you have to do things that entangle you in the results of your efforts. Boy, that's a mind twister, isn't it? Mm-hmm. It is your idea that you have to do things that entangle you in the results of your efforts. The motive, the desire, the failure to achieve, the sense of frustration, all this holds you back. Simply look at whatever happens and know that you are beyond it. Isn't that rich?
Yeah,
that beautiful? Doesn't that describe the mind's activities and what it's always focused on? Have a drink. Go to the park. Sit down and have a cup of tea. Don't worry. There's nothing that has to be done. And if something needs to be done, you'll do it. But what if you could be in that safe zone, that spontaneous zone, and you could just enjoy everything? Huh? I'm telling you that it happens. I'm telling you. It's there. It's real. And it's enjoyable. And it's beautiful. And it's lovely. And this guy was quite a deal to handle with, okay? I mean, he was a frustrating character. And it wasn't easy for him to settle down. You know, because I'm on my seventh business. And my mom would come home, even at kindergarten, I would run away. Because I had my own life going on then, you know. And it wasn't to be around my mother. So we're talking about non-duality. We're talking about that there's no separation. That's really the thing that we're trying to understand, is that there is no such thing as separation. There is no such thing as duality. We can't be separate from the whole, and that whole is the still small voice inside you that's always speaking, and it's always, it never wants to be unkind. It isn't whether or try to be kind, it doesn't want to be unkind, ever. So get over that. You think, I got to try to be, well, love is being nicer, and all that's a bunch of baloney. It never wants to be unkind. So whatever it is that's wanting to be ornery, it isn't you.
Yeah.
Okay? Because this unconditional love has no idea what unkindness is. Doesn't even know what it is. So we could argue about that, but it's just the reality. I've felt it and I know it. It has no desire to do anything to harm anyone in any way. people start hearing about some of these things. Well, you're just teaching irresponsibility and blah, 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 blah. And I said, well, I won all those ribbons already, okay, for trying to be responsible, okay, and they all got torched. So sharing this isn't a path or a religion, because what I'm sharing with you is I'm telling you there's nothing to do, including taking on board the idea that there is no one and nothing that can be done. There's absolutely nothing you can do to add to reality. Nothing. It's already as whole and complete and full as it ever could be. Right now, I'm telling you, it couldn't be any more complete. It couldn't be any more full. It isn't wanting for anything. It has no desires. It isn't clamoring because it doesn't have this and doesn't have that. None of that stuff is going on in this secret place. Okay? There's none of that going on. Robert Adams is another guy that I spent some time with. He was a Western mystic that traveled to India for, I think, almost 15 to 20 years he was there, just studying, and dedicated his whole life to understanding the sages there. And when I talk about some of these guys, and you can't even, you know, say their names right, okay, they are people that came out of the religion of Hinduism. They're not Hindus. People say, oh, well, you're just studying Hinduism. No, I'm not. There are Catholics who come out of the religion of Catholics and are mystics. Okay, we're talking about mystics here that have found the reality that there's no self-improvement programs for you that will work, because there is no self that needs to be improved. Now, isn't that good news? Huh? It's a waste of time. You're not going to be more holy. You're not going to be more righteous. You aren't going to be more this or that if today you don't kick the cat. Okay, well, wow, I got the victory today. I didn't kick the cat. All that stuff is just nonsense. But he says, the whole of life's ambition has been to get better at self-inquiry. The big dilemma is there is no self. Yeah, rut roll. Yeah. Doesn't that sound like frustration to you? Huh? The whole life's ambition is to get better at self-inquiry. But there's no self. It's no wonder it doesn't work, huh?
Yeah.
We're talking about a hidden secret here, aren't we?
Yep.
Sure.
It's a hidden secret to realize in this safe zone, in this place, in this quiet place, nothing needs to be done, and there's no one that needs to do anything. Now, I call that perfection. I call that absolute reality. I call that absolute truth. How could it not be? Would you agree with that, Robert?
Yes.
Huh? Because you can't screw it up, because there's no you to screw it up. Yeah.
That's really good news.
It is.
What
freedom. Exactly. What freedom. Take a breath. You're still here. You didn't disappear. What is this? This is unconditional love expressing itself in every one of you. That's what this is. And it's it's always in the right place at the right time. Because there's no place like the present. It's never out of order. Ever. And so when you can realize that, and so Robert Adams was the one that said you've never made any mistakes and you'll never make any because there isn't you that can make them.
Yes. Go figure.
Yeah. Totally different way of looking at things, isn't it? Huh? Mm-hmm. Totally different way of looking at things. And I like meditation. If that's something that you have a tendency to do and that helps you relax, that's okay. But to get up and say meditation will get you there is wrong. Yeah. See? But if that's something you enjoy doing, then that's fine. And Robert, you had a good explanation yesterday about that. You know, if you want to beat yourself up with the Bible, go ahead. I'm paraphrasing. But. You may be the president of the United States or a homeless person, but you're still somebody. But if you realize that you're nobody, then you can sit in peace and find rest from a life of seeking and the constant pain of living in the desire for a future. Because that's where all the pain comes from, is this desire for a better tomorrow. Because it ain't good enough now. There's Dino. Dean said, when love traveled beyond identity, it found its truth and its home.
Yes.
Huh?
Yes.
He's sitting right here.
Yeah.
That's something? When love traveled beyond identity, it found its truth and its home. It's a place beyond the appearances. It's a place beyond the visible. That's where this is. Okay? I remember back when, did any of you ever listen to the lessons I had on incorporeality? Well, when I was in Hong Kong, I'd gotten a hold of an old out-of-print book when I find these things, I just am like a crazy dog, you know. What is that?
Yeah.
What is that strange word? I've never heard it before, you know. And I always want to know. And there was just some real treasures in it. And I just remember realizing, as I sat, I was up in about the 31st floor. We were going to this big business meeting overlooking the Kowloon Bay in Hong Kong. It's a beautiful, beautiful city. I love going there. And I've been there several times on business. And the only thing I can tell you is the buildings almost seem to become invisible. The structures almost seemed like they were going in and out in a vibration to me as I was looking out this window. And I'm not going nuts, I'm just telling you, this is the feeling I got when I realized that reality is an incorporeal kingdom. It's not visible.
Yeah.
What you really are is spirit. Yeah. Okay? You're not flesh and blood. You're not bones. That's right. That's reality. That's eternity. And it's not an identity. It's just the opposite. Someone was teaching on eternal identity, and I thought, oh, God forbid. Because they were talking about God, too. But who would want to live under eternal torment with an identity?
Oh, God.
Yeah. So when love traveled beyond identity, it found its truth and its home. I want to close with, before we let Robert come up here, Dana Cosenza wrote a poem. She's really good. She really understands what I've been trying to share. And she wrote a beautiful poem for us for this retreat. So I'm going to close and read this to you. The eye spins its web in the illusion of an eternal identity, bowing its knee to try to control the wholly separate entity. Prayer is eye's tool of ancient retrieval to obtain all the good and remove all the evil. O I, who have judged what is wrong and what is right, determining who is darkness and those filled with light. O I, who have chosen what needs should be filled by speaking the words so masterfully skilled. The I rules and reigns while pleading its case, its eternal identity fashioned with grace. It longs to live on, defying the grave, its sacrifice saying, I will be saved. But what is there? But what if there was no I to maintain or exist, just an elaborate illusion, and the plot has a twist? No good to ask for, no evil to resist, just total completeness, always there, never missed. The all in all is all there can be, no I, no you, no us, no we. No cause or effect to try to understand, only unconditional love with no demand.